Welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. I'm so happy you joined me. It's a beautiful day and night now in Miami, Florida. It's an honor that you're with me. I can't wait to share this with you. I have some great stuff for you in this show. Our website is www.believe.love. Find us on iTunes, believeiTunes.com. If you have an Android phone, believeAndroid.com. And of course, we're on YouTube as well, youtube.com/believeLovesYou. Let's get right into it. It's a great pleasure to help you find your true purpose, to help you find out why you are here on this earth, not only to help you make money, to help you grow your business, get a better job, be able to do more, but to look deeper into things. And that's what we help you do here at Believe. So there's actually a story to get into something really amazing in the category of our universe that I have to tell you about. It's something that I don't think enough people know about. And to be quite honest, it seems unbelievable. But some really credible people are involved, specifically one of the top geneticists in the world at Stanford University in California. And I'm just going to jump right into it. Have you ever seen in your life a 6-inch 7-year-old? So we're talking about a 7-year-old human being that is this tall, 6 inches. Have you ever even heard of such a thing? Well, I can tell you that we have to look into this. Not enough people heard about this story, and it is one of the most unbelievable mainstream, actually something that mainstream science touched, literally, that a lot of people just don't know about. So let's get right into it. In the category of our universe, we're going to help you to expand your mind here on Believe. And what I want to show you right now, our YouTube viewers, I'm going to show you specifically some websites that I want you to be open to taking a look at. And the first one, YouTube viewers can see this now, is the Huffington Post. And we see here, the Huffington Post is considered fairly mainstream. But there's an article, Serious Documentary Reveals DNA Test on ATA, either ATA or ATA, A-T-A, the 6-inch alien. Of course, they have that part in quotes, 6-inch alien. But this is an article you can find on the Huffington Post, which is considered a fairly reputable news source. Sirius is spelled S-I-R-I-U-S, S-I-R-I-U-S. And they have a picture of it right here. Now, Sirius, or Sirius Disclosure, was a documentary that we're going to talk more about. But I want to talk, first of all, everybody, this excites me so much. This is one of the most exciting mainstream discoveries, literally, in our modern history. Everybody on Earth, in my opinion, it would probably be great if everybody, everywhere, knew about this, especially business people. Because we have one of the top guys in the world at Stanford that looked at this 6-inch being. And let's see what this article talks about. The mummified remains of what looks like a 6-inch space alien has turned Sirius into the most eagerly awaited documentary among UFO enthusiasts. Well, and then it says the findings come as a disappointment, and we'll get into what it says. But I want you as a person, as an intelligent person, take a look at our video here on YouTube, or take a look at the article, find the article. But have you ever seen a 6-inch real being that looks like this and is 7 years old? I'm talking about a human being. No. This is not a human being. I mean, I'm just going to put it. Everybody knows that. Everybody in the world that would see this, and it has been verified, and we'll get into this in the article. It has been verified that it is a real being that is between 6 and 8 years old, that is 6 inches long. And if you look at its skull and everything else, this is no human being. And this is a real thing. And actually, again, serious disclosure, we'll go to their website here in a second. Dr. Stephen Greer was an emergency room doctor for 11 years. That is no dummy. That's a person that makes a lot of money. That's a person that has accomplished a lot of things in terms of mainstream science. And he put his life on the line to talk about this stuff. And he created this documentary. And I've seen him in person a couple of times, actually. He headed the Disclosure Project, where hundreds of military personnel came together at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., at really a mainstream event that really should have been covered worldwide as well. And people were just coming out with documents and a lot of things that it's like, you know, actually really reputable. But this is unbelievable. And it happened a couple years ago, but I just found out about it within the past year. And I have to tell you about it. And it changes everything. If you want to know how it helps you be more successful, well, we can start thinking about everything differently and the definition of success as well. And I'm here to not only help you be more successful, but to help us find our purpose and our place in the universe and to really explore what's really going on. And it's not all about making money, just to be clear. Because that's a focus of our show. We have a lot of business people and people that want to improve their business as well. But this is unbelievable. Except that it's real. So, you know, the Huffington Post article, they talk about that the publicity says that the creators were going to reveal the DNA and that the oversized alien-looking head couldn't be medically classified. And then it says that the scientists concluded the little humanoid was human. And actually, it's Gary Nolan, the director of stem cell biology at Stanford University's School of Medicine in California. And it goes on, it quotes him, and he didn't say what Huffington Post is saying. And I love Huffington Post. I know they try to do a great job. I love actually right-wing news organizations as well. I love it all. I think we can all be more positive and accepting, and we're working on that as a people, right? And that's what our company's trying to do as well. So if you like positive media, share believe.love. Share this video or audio, because we're going to try to make things like positive and find solutions and compromises, but also to be honest, to look at the darkness and a lot of things we've talked about in previous episodes. But it says this initially, and then it goes on to say what he actually said. And I actually watched the documentary. I'm going to show you their website. But Serious Disclosure was on Netflix, and it was one of the top documentaries, or it was the top documentary on Netflix. And so this was actually a big deal. And it still is. And I have to bring this to your attention. We should be talking about this every day. It's actually unbelievable. And so what I take away, and I saw him actually talk on the documentary. It quotes him here. I can say with absolute certainty that it is not a monkey. It is human closer to... Okay, notice this. The quote, it is human dash closer to human than chimpanzees. Well, that leaves a little bit of room there. And by the way, I don't need any room. I have everybody who looks at the pictures. When's the last time you saw a 6-inch 7-year-old? Never. Never. When's the last time, even in history books, which again, history, in my opinion, and not just my opinion, there's a lot missing in our history books, and maybe we've made some mistakes, and I've made mistakes in my life, so hey, we're human, and there's a lot going on with us as to why things can be either mistaken or hidden or whatever. in terms of real history, but you don't hear about any 7-inch 6-year-old, excuse me, 6-inch 7-year-olds in history books either, have you? Have you ever heard of that? A real animal? It's saying, just by Huffington Post, and I think this article was viewed, or articles like this, millions of times at the time, but not enough. Not enough. It hasn't been viewed enough by enough important people. People that make money, because that apparently is what people think is success right now. But I can say with absolute certainty that it is not a monkey. It's human dash closer to human than chimpanzees. It lived to the age of 6 to 8. Obviously, it was breathing, it was eating, it was metabolizing. It calls into question how big the thing might have been when it was born, said Gary Nolan, director of stem cell biology at Stanford University School of Medicine in California. The DNA tells a story, and we have computational techniques that allows us to determine in very short order whether, in fact, this is human. And he performed the DNA test. And it doesn't go on to say what he actually continued to say in the documentary, which is that he says that he basically leaves some... he leaves some sort of a gap there. If you actually watch the documentary, not just read articles. And, you know, he goes on to say in this article, quotes, it says, your reputation's at stake. I have every expectation that even doing this is going to lead to some ribbing from some of my colleagues. Well, yeah, of course. And that's silly. It's silly. And I think I want this out there personally. And I'm proud because, you know, it's like, listen, NASA came out and said there are 2 trillion galaxies, and has also said there are 1 to 8 billion Earth-like planets in each galaxy. Let's get out of the flat Earth society mindset, right? Like, you know, they put Galileo in jail for saying the Earth was not the center of the universe. There's higher intelligence out there, and in this case, 6-inch intelligence, right? It just exists. It's real. Everybody knows it. It's a numbers game. It's silly. It's silly. So, like, you just have to look at this picture. All I'm saying is this. And in the actual documentary, he goes on to talk about that, you know, there are some gaps. There's some things that can't be explained. And it's basically like he's saying, well, I'm going to say this is human because I don't want to lose my job and be considered a laughingstock. And that's all, you know, there are reasons why people would be considered a laughingstock, and it's silly. The laughingstock, I mean, now people laugh at the Flat Earth Society, but the Flat Earth Society was running the world several hundred years ago, basically, right? And they would laugh at people that said the Earth was round, and now we laugh at the people who say it's flat. And it's going to be honest, I hope we don't laugh at them, but it's like the people who can't just look at this, what you have is you have a 6-inch 7-year-old from Chile, the Atacama Desert. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. It was discovered 10 years ago, and you have it that it was a real thing. And you look at its skull, and it's just, like, unbelievable. There's no way this is human. Everybody knows that it's not. Anybody that looks at it. But the amazing thing is you have a real geneticist at the top university saying that this is a real being of some sort, any sort. And then he leaves a little bit of room in the actual documentary, and he says, well, we're gonna, okay, so it says, you know, the other thing that immediately fell out of the analysis is that it's male. It probably died in the last century, if I were to make a guess. So nothing is shrinking down to 6 inches in the last century. it's just so amazing. You have a 6-inch 7-year-old. 6 inches. That means that, you know, it doesn't look human. The skull is not human. There's no human that has a skull like that. And it's a real being. Like they took samples of the bones and everything else. It's unbelievable. And so in the actual documentary, he kind of leaves it up in the air is what actually happens. He doesn't just say it's human and case closed. He said something to the effect that he's going to put the DNA sequence online and people can look at it and maybe fill in the blanks and things like that. He says something like that. He doesn't just say. And if you look at the first quote when they talk about the chimpanzee, it's closer to human than a chimpanzee. Well, it's, yeah, okay, that could be true. It's also a 6-inch 7-year-old that doesn't look human at all and is a real being. And why is this not all over the place? This is one of the most, if not the most, publicly accepted discoveries ever, that you have a so-called human that looks alien that's 6 inches and 7 years old. When have you ever heard of that? Never, never. So we're going to watch the trailer. This is the official trailer, and you can hear it for our visitors that are on iTunes, believeiTunes.com. I definitely encourage you to subscribe there as well, and believeAndroid.com for Android users. And then we're going to watch this on YouTube. So this is the official trailer.
The problem is not proving that UFOs exist. It's when you begin to expose the energy and propulsion systems behind how they're getting here.
What scientists need to do is they need to look at the hardcore evidence, decide that, oh my gosh, ETs are real, and then get over that. Then you can start extrapolating.
These sciences have been around for decades. They have been ruthlessly kept secret because of the power of a centralized petrodollar oil gas coal system. And right now, these misanthropic sociopaths are running the planet into the ground.
Governments have not gone far enough. So we've decided that as people to form our own movement.
All right, game on, roll one.
What we are attempting to achieve is a device which defeats the perpendicular force of gravity.
We have so many modes of converting quantum vacuum energy or zero point energy.
This possible EVE was found in the Atacama Desert. We have the best scientists that are going to be doing the DNA testing.
We have 1,150 teams of CE5 ambassadors.
I can attest to the fact that real phenomenon happens here.
And this is probably the most important thing going on this planet today, and yet nobody talks about it.
Oh, look at that thing. Look at that beautiful being.
If we come together, we can make this happen in a matter of months, not decades. For this is the destiny of humanity.
So you see there, so beautiful, that being. You see actually the being in that trailer. And it's really amazing. Really, really amazing. This movie, if we continue looking here, it's from Emmy-winning director Amardeep Kaleka. And again, that could be pronounced incorrectly. And narrated by actor Thomas Jane. But this is the most exciting thing. And not enough people know about it. It's a real being that is 6 inches long and 7 years old. Absolutely amazing. So if we go to the website, SiriusDisclosure.com, you can see it on YouTube now, SiriusDisclosure.com. And actually, Dr. Greer is coming out with a new film called Unacknowledged, an expose of the greatest secret in human history, the super secret and illegal unacknowledged special access projects that deal with the UFO ET issue. And believe me, there is a lot there. There's so much great information that's going to be there. And you also can see ET evidence, and he's got, as you can see, witness testimony, hundreds or thousands of them. And so he has something on the Atacama humanoid, which is what they're calling it. And you can see a picture here. Oh, this is just so amazing. Stanford University research, Atacama humanoid, still a mystery, by Dr. Stephen Greer. And so this is a more accurate article, in my opinion, because it was kind of left up in the air. It also, as you see in this article, the specimen has only 10 ribs, a finding not yet found in humans, and a very unusual cranium. It's because it wasn't human. I don't know. I mean, you immediately see this thing and you see that it's not human. If it's real, again, it could be fake. And the amazing thing, and they go through all the bone structure, the fetus. You know, they show you differences in this article, Serious Disclosure. If you go to the top, there's an evidence, ET evidence tab, and then the Atacama humanoid. There's a whole article, and they show you a lot of information here and compare different bone structures, and they compare it to a human bone. You have x-rays, and it's just unbelievable. So I'm going through this as well. It's just so amazing. You have more video footage here, more photos. Just take a look at it. I mean, this is a close-up of the skull, and it's just one of the most beautiful things. I am just so honored to bring this to you. If this is new information, you might be thinking, what do I take out of this? Why would I need to know this? Well, I think that it's important to think about our place in the universe, that we're one of many civilizations, possibly an infinite amount, that we're all connected. It's all God, what we think the good and the bad is. It's easier for me to say that. Trust me, it's hard for me as well to deal with what's bad, quote unquote bad, right? But there's just so much out there that maybe the government has been afraid to reveal to us. And that now we have something literally that is a real being, 6 inches long. It's not human. It's just not human, and it's a real being and 7 years old, and that's just one. That's just something that's come out into the public eye. So share this video with your friends. Believe.love is the website. I have some other amazing things on this episode, but I'm so honored to bring that to you. I hope it just blows your mind like it blows my mind, and the possibilities are endless, and that's what this network is all about. The possibilities for yourself as a person, how much money you can make, but also your true purpose, why you're here on this planet, and the possibilities for all of us together, including humans and maybe non-humans, right? And we have friends that are animals, right? We like other beings. So there's so many beings out there, and there is a higher intelligence, and we're going to talk about that more in the future. So thanks so much for being with me. We're going to talk about now something in the category of money and business. This is a really cool, important thing to think about. And here at Believe, we're helping you to expand your mind, but also really get serious about improving your life. And a lot of people, to them, that's making more money. We want to make more money so we can do more things. And that's the way that the world works right now. That's the way it is currently. So we're going to help you to do that now. And I want to talk about one of the most important things in business. In business, in money and business, adjustments. Making adjustments is literally everything. And so somebody came to me and asked me recently, what are the top info products I could look at? Or what should I look at when I go to like Udemy and look at video courses, or I'm trying to build a business or improve my business or things like that? And in the past, you may have heard me say, you know, you really need to pay attention to details. Look at your competitors. Look at every single thing they're doing. Look at every part of their business and then improve on it or do something different. Look at other people that are similar in your market, but maybe have a different product. But the thing is, even if you do that, even if you get the best info product, and an info product being sort of like a case study or something that somebody will buy to show them how to set up a certain type of business, to improve the business, maybe it's a book you read, maybe it's something I'm saying. And the key element here, this is a quick tip, but it's so important, is that adjustments are everything in business and in terms of making money. Because no matter what I say or no matter what you read, when you actually go to do it, it's probably going to be a lot different. And you have to be able to see that and make the adjustment. So we start out, we think, what is quality? That's the first question to ask yourself. What makes this a high quality product? What makes this a quality, what makes you a quality employee at this specific business if you want to get a job there? Or if you want to be a better employee. But okay, so you take that into account. You take into account quality. Then you find out how it happens. And how you do that is you find out how other people did it or other companies, no matter what your company's size. Find out what other companies did. Look at case studies. And then you actually have to do it. And when you're doing it, for example, we talk about digital marketing. I've done millions of dollars of sales. I've also had really tough times. And I've spent money and lost a lot of money. And I've done, thank God, better, a little bit better than the tough times. But when you're looking at digital marketing, if you're running AdWords campaigns, I just had this quarter, the cost of AdWords campaigns went way down. And if I wouldn't have been paying attention to my bids, I'd be spending way too much because I didn't pay attention to the adjustments that I need to make. Have you ever heard that? Do you know? A lot of people do know, some people don't. Advertising in the first quarter can be a lot cheaper. People might not be spending as much money on certain products, especially like retail stores and things like that. But certain products, they are spending more and the advertising cost goes down. So that's something to keep in mind. You have to be able to make those adjustments and pay attention. And adjustments are everything because things are going to be a little bit different. And so when you're actually doing what you need to do, stay on your toes, be ready. Be ready to make those adjustments. Be ready to change your approach based on what's happening. And then you're going to write the book. You're going to write the book on what you did. And you know, people that we create these books and we create these info products, and they know, first of all, the unfortunate truth is that most people aren't going to do what it says. But this is something really simple, but really important that you can do. People that put together tutorials or sort of case studies that are telling you how to build a million-dollar business or to, you know, some, it's legitimate in many cases. But especially in dealing with digital marketing, things change so quickly. By the time that product hits the market or comes out, that traffic source could be dead. There could be a million people doing just what that person's talking about. Nobody, it's hard to make a profit anymore. And you have to look for new traffic sources and apply what you learn to the new traffic source and pay attention to all the dynamics. But you have to make adjustments. Just plan for it ahead of time. I've had to do it. I have to do it with this show. I can do a better job. And we all have to make adjustments. And that's going to help you make more money, no matter if you're trying to get a better job, to get more clients, to start a business, or to grow a business, if we all do a better job of making adjustments and planning for that, and planning for what those adjustments might be ahead of time. In Silicon Valley, I happen to know, I pitched some venture capital firms and some angel investors years ago, 8 years ago. And I had some meetings with really great people. And a lot of times, and you see this in the show Shark Tank on ABC, but a lot of times people, they're not necessarily betting on the business, they're betting on the person because they know that changes are going to have to occur. They know that people are gonna have to make changes. So they wanna know, hey, okay, this business sounds good, but they know ahead of time a million things might that the person presenting the idea has no idea. A million things are gonna happen. You're gonna have, what if you have a company that you're just keep the money? What if you can't fill orders? Or what if your manufacturer breaks down? And what I mean is that they're not fulfilling the orders and you need to go to a different manufacturer. Where are you gonna get the money to fill those orders, produce that product, and sell it to a retailer that's paying you on net 90 and you have to wait 120 days to get paid and all this stuff? They know that, they explain it a little bit in the show, but you know, I've lived it at times and I can do a better job too. But making those adjustments is what it's all about, and being aware of them is good. And in business, even at the highest levels, I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars invested, you can look at the dot-com bubble and some of the companies that were funded, and they had huge, big businesses in terms of money put into it that failed because they weren't able to make adjustments. And I know I haven't done it either at times. I've been not so patient. I ignored the facts. So who knows, man? Right? Who knows? But it's important to make those adjustments and to plan for what they possibly could be and then take action based on what you're doing. And I would say the last thing is to have small victories. Small victories can make it so you don't feel like you failed if things don't work out. So have those small victories in terms of like something like the following. If you send 1,000 clicks to a landing page of a product you're selling and you're not getting any sales, and you're like, this stinks. Like, I wasted so much time on this project and I'm not getting any sales. Well, set up an email opt-in form. Get the emails first. Make it feel like you're doing something that you're going to have success at, that's easier for you to get results at. And then adjust your sales page. Do more testing. You have to remember about your upsells, and maybe you're going to break even on the sales page or lose a little money and make money on the back end. But set up little victories. It doesn't matter if you're trying to get more clients, it doesn't matter if you're building a business, growing a business to a larger, making a good business great. Every part of what you do, you can apply this to. Know what the adjustments might be. Do not ignore them. You can if you want to. I wouldn't. I do it sometimes, and I need to take my own advice more, and I do. I have done this. I learned the hard way. I spent years on things that eventually didn't work because I was ignoring what I'm telling you now, and I actually have been fairly successful. And even with this show, there are adjustments I can make that I'm going to in the future. And so you have to do the best you can, prioritize your changes. But making adjustments can make you rich. It can build a huge, it can help you to build a great business, to make more money. And I'm so happy to share that with you. So shifting gears to something that's so, so vitally important for true success. And I'm talking about your purpose, why you're on this planet, why you are breathing, what you came here to do. It's all connected. It's connected to making more money, having a better life, being happier. And this is a really cool topic. It actually has come up more for me recently. How to deal with the oddities of being human. Being human is so strange. It's so funny. I have never met a normal person. Just think about, will you think about, please, all of the funny things you do when people are not around and not looking. Like, I'm actually extremely strange. I think it's actually, I don't have a problem saying that because I know that everybody is. And the people that seem the most normal sometimes are the strangest, right? And it's actually a beautiful thing, but sometimes it can be kind of painful. And what I mean by that is, we've talked about this before, all of our reactions can be so challenging. They can be really challenging reactions where we don't actually know why we're doing what we're doing. And what I mean by that is, we have very, like, let's say we get mad because somebody says a certain word that's not that offensive, but it triggers something in us that, or if somebody's late and it just bothers us, or if somebody says they're going to do something and doesn't do it, and it can make us like crazy town, right? And sometimes we look at people that don't go to crazy town and we think, oh, like, these people, oh, they shouldn't be mad. In fact, many times people get mad at people for getting mad, even if it's a valid reason. Like, we see this all the time. Companies that are like, you know, they do something they maybe shouldn't have done. And the employee says, well, you know, and the person should be maybe a bit frustrated. And they're like, oh, you shouldn't be frustrated. Like, you know, just calm down. And they almost change the subject. They change the subject from actually correcting the real issue. And they just focus on the fact that somebody has gotten mad. And that's bad. Well, yes, sure, the person could be nicer. But also, we could do a better job. And that goes for all of us, me included. So, it is so funny. And what do we do about being, like, wacky, right? Because we all are. Everybody on Earth is a comedy show. You have great talk show hosts like Howard Stern that has been on the air for 40 years, makes hundreds of millions of dollars, right? And the great thing about Howard, when he interviews somebody, he can make like a normal person like so fascinating, because everybody is a comedy show, including me. And how do we deal with it when it becomes a problem? Well, I think loving it is the answer. And that's why I'm creating this show. I created Love, the company Love, L-O-V-E, exclamation mark, because I need to do a better job at loving it. I found out that when we love those strange things, even the ones that are painful, that really can be major problems for us and other people, it harmonizes it. It takes the edge off, and it can be hard to do. And maybe we need help from others. I know I could use the help. And it's hard because, especially like another odd thing that we do, if our family tells us something, even if it works, we might not want to listen to them. You'll find a guy on the internet to listen to that has a show, and your family might know what to do, but because they're your family and they irritate you and you know they're not perfect either, you're like, I'm not, oh yeah, you want to find your own path because like they irritated you your whole life. So why are you going to listen to them, right? Even if they have something that works, we're going to like ignore them. So we're all like funny. And I think we can embrace being funny. It's a simple message, but I think it's really important because I just want to say, like, for me, I'm getting more focused personally. And it means that I'm actually talking to people less. I've done things that are like literally so wacky, like having the same reaction, getting mad at the same thing for like 5 to 7 to 10 years, and not understanding that's just the way the world is and the way people are. And it literally, it's like banging your head into the wall when you can't. It's just like, it seems like your entire being was made to pay attention to this thing that is really irritating you. And you can't ignore it. You have to address it. And I would just say, like, after you get done banging your head into the wall, there's hope for us all. And the hope is love, to accept those things, to love them, to accept the fact that you have funny reactions to things. To love those reactions, love that feeling of tension when it comes and just be like, you know what? It is really kind of funny that I react this way. And actually, I'm going to smooth it out by loving it. A lot of times we can feel guilty, especially if we're like really over the top. I mean, sometimes it feels like we have to be. Like, why do people lie? Why are they trying to take advantage of us? We need to be strong. We need to, you know, a lot of times like say, hey, you need to get this done. I mean, because people don't all the time react to being nice. They don't react to saying, oh, I love that you're like this. I mean, we have people, I don't even think that watch the videos and they vote down a video. They give it a thumbs down, more thumbs up than thumbs down. But I think it's because they look at me. They're like, oh, it's a guy with a shaved head. Like, I'm not even going to listen to him. He looks like, a white a skinhead or something. I don't know. I actually like my head. I have to like, you know, it's my only head that I have in this life, right? But it's people don't react all the time to this love that I'm talking about. So it's not a big incentive to do it. Ron Paul got booed for bringing up the golden rule in the South Carolina debate when he ran against Mitt Romney to go up against President Obama. He talked about the golden rule. He got booed. He didn't win. He was a nice guy. What incentive was there for Donald Trump to be that nice when he ran? I actually know that he's a lot nicer deep down than people think he is. Especially people that aren't paying attention and just listen to the news. Everybody knows that pays close attention. But he also said some tough things and maybe things that were kind of tough. But by the way, who hasn't? Who hasn't? And I think that there are good things in everybody, even people that Republicans want to demonize. There are good things in everybody, Democrats as well. I mean, it's like silly. So this love can be tough because we don't have a big incentive right now to do it. And a lot of times, especially when money is involved, people don't react to us being nice. That's been a challenge for me. It's like we want something done, and if you're nice, they just keep what we think of them as taking advantage of us. And it's like until they feel like they have to take action, they might, or there's some kind of incentive, they might not do it. So the best book for this, which I can follow more, and I have been over the years gradually, because I know how I felt before and how I am now. I'm not perfect now, but I am improving. But the best book about this, and I mentioned it maybe before, is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And you can get it for free on audiobook, I believe, at believefreebook.com. Believefreebook.com. And you join the program there for free, and you get a free audiobook, and it also helps us out. We get like a commission just for you getting a free book. That's pretty good. And it helps our whole broadcast. And the reason why this book is good, something I didn't mention before, is Dale Carnegie is kind of like a realist in it. He's not like a pushover just talking about, in a way he's like I am sometimes, at least in this video. It's like he's real, you know, he's real, but the first chapter is like basically people care about themselves. They're not really worried about what you think. They care about what they think. And at the same time, although he's real and kind of like a little bit like blunt, he goes about telling us how we can be nice and still get the results we want. And that's the entire book. And it's the most valuable book in terms of dealing with this issue that I've ever found. And it was written in the 30s. He talks about great business leaders like Charles Schwab, people that you see their names, and he actually dealt with them. He knew them. or he knew the stories and he was around during that time. And it's a great, great book. So being human is really an odd thing, but I think it can be a special thing. I think it's special. We probably came here to have this human experience on Earth, talking about before this life, to deal with these odd things. We can have fun with them, but sometimes they're not so fun. Sometimes our little craziness is not so fun. And I knew somebody that's a beautiful soul that had multiple personalities, right? And she hated it. She hated that she had it. It was a big problem in her life. But I said, hey, you know, that's kind of like the X-Men. Like you have your own team. You have your own team, right? And you can, like, they're like, they have their own special powers. They help you. And they're like your team. And you can kind of involve everybody there, all of your personalities. And her goal is to get integrated. But hating it is not going to do that. And it's the same thing I'm trying to present to you about the world that I'm a part of that I can do a better job at as well. And that is like hating all the parts is not, you're not going to like beat it into doing what you want, like by force. Eventually, loving it and shining a light on all those oddities and talking about them and forgiving people and forgiving ourselves for the weirdest of weird things that we all do is probably the way that it's going to come into harmony more. Not like forcing it, which is what we've done, and having all these games about, you know, I'm doing this in the name of the greater good. And I do it too. You know, it's like everybody does it on levels. I haven't gone to war and I haven't, you know, there's some very tough things that our country, the United States, has done in the name of a greater good, they said, right? And I don't know about that. And, you know, but a lot of people have really good intentions. And it's like we all, I mean, you tell children there's no Santa Claus, you tell them there's a Santa Claus, and then there really isn't. And you lie to them for the greater good so they can have fun when they're little. Is that a good thing? I don't know. I don't know if it's such a good thing, but I was actually depressed when I was angry that my mom lied to me, but I also loved having Santa Claus growing up. But hopefully no kids are listening to this or watching this, right? So it's such an interesting topic. And all of us, we're trying to draw attention to things. We're trying to, you know, what I would say is, listen, really be about what you're about. You know, all of us have to try to present our best, put our best foot forward, try to do it as honestly as we can. Nobody's perfect, definitely. Definitely not me, but we do the best we can, and we're all becoming more honest and ethical. And as we do that, let's try, if I can try too, not to hate the people that are not doing it the way we would. Let's just try that. Let's try that. Because, and that includes people that think that there should be no transsexual bathrooms and people that think there should be. I mean, I happen to not care, right? But I happen to know that there could be a greater agenda as well. There's actually points to both. The agenda actually has nothing maybe to do with the actual people that are transsexual. It could be something to do with Baphomet or something of Illuminati plan, or who knows, man. It's possible. Actually, there's a lot that goes along with that, like over like hundreds of years, that these things are possible. So, it's important to keep an open mind to all of it. It's okay to look at it all. It's okay. It's all right. Because we're all funny. We're all funny just by existing. And that's a beautiful thing. The oddities of being human. So I hope that's been a fun discussion. What do you think the most amusing thing about being human is? The strangest thing people do. There are so many that I do. I'm trying to think. I mean, literally, sometimes my place is like crazy. I actually use one plate so that I don't have to wash another. I just wash the same plate because I don't want to do dishes. Because actually, my mother, and I love her so much, but we had to clean things that were already clean growing up. They were already clean, but we had to clean them because she was very clean, and my dad's very clean too. But my mom, she's been working so much that her place is cleaner than mine generally. But like, and I'm very organized in other things, but like mentally I have some kind of odd like thing in my brain where I don't want to I like to like put things on the floor just because I am, because subconsciously I'm like striking back. Like, I can do it now. I'm like older and I can put this on the floor and nobody can tell me I can't, even though I actually like cleanliness as well. So if any great people, you know, if they like to clean, like, hey, I love that. If a girl tells me that they like to clean, I'm like, oh my goodness, thank God, right? But we all have these funny things. We all have reasons for doing them. And even the really dark things in the world, the really tough things. I mean, people yelling. I have the weirdest reactions to certain things sometimes because I've had a lot of people do something else. But that's a great gift. And only when I started thinking of it as a gift did things start to change. Not that I don't do it all the time and think of that all the time. But that's why I'm talking about this now, because, and I went through, I think in a previous episode, winter. Without winter, would you know what summer is? Without these oddities and weird things and even the terrible things that people do, would you know how good something could be? What contrast would you have? So we're all cool. We're all odd. Leave a comment at believe.love on this video or YouTube. youtube.com/believeloves you, or download our iTunes, believeitunes.com. Download the podcast version, or believeandroid.com for Android phones. Let us know what you think. Leave your comments. Let's have a discussion of all the funny things we do as people and actually how to love the tough things. And I mean, really love it. I need help doing that. I need help. Because it's easy to say to do it, but to actually do it. I mean, I had this, I'm just going to tell you this. We went to the Miami Dolphins versus New England Patriots game, and somebody bought fake tickets, and they got us out of our seat, and we missed most of the first quarter, and we spent, it was a Christmas gift. Somebody spent hundreds of $600 on the tickets. This is a football game, right? And I'm telling you what, I was not feeling the love when that was happening. I was not feeling the love. I mean, I was thinking, you know, it was not handled like the system to handle that. I tried to handle it reasonably, like, hey, you know, here's the ticket, like, go see which ones are real. Like, I was trying to solve it, and it wasn't just me, there were other people. And they did the best they can with their policy, and it just was something where it was, I didn't have time to think. I was just not feeling the love. And please send me love. You can actually think about that space and time. And if you'd like to, send me love at that time. I'll do the same for you. Time is actually relative. Einstein proved that. You can go back and forwards in time. You can send love in the past. You can send love in the future. And it's actually very real. There's timeline therapy, which is actually very real as well. So I was not feeling the love. And I told my cousin who was with me. I was like, after it though. And I handled it better. I calmed down. I was pretty calm. But it was just like they handled it really maybe not the best. And then in addition, they kind of said like, hey, there's nothing we could do about it. And that was a tough answer to receive, especially given the value of the tickets. They were very high. And I've been waiting for this. But you know what? I had a great time. First of all, I was able to move on from it and have a great time. And I was able to separate from it. And I was able to tell my cousin that, listen, those are the things I need to be thankful for. And I could say that right after. And I used to, things like that used to ruin days and things like that. I mean, like, so it's all our improvements that we make when we think about the strange things, even the things that could bother us. It's all relative to where you are. You know, baby steps, right? So maybe an improvement for somebody is just not like going like bat crap crazy. And for them, that's a big thing. So we can encourage that and say, great job, instead of pointing the finger at everybody pretending we're not strange too. Because let me tell you, we are. We are. And all of the things that, you know, people are doing, you know, men cheating and pretending that they never think about other girls and all those things. Let's just like talk about it. Let's talk about it and just say, hey, we're strange. And that's part of the reason a guy like Howard Stern is so successful, because he does talk about those things and everybody knows they're going on anyway. So I think those are cool. So I hope this has been kind of entertaining. I hope you've loved this episode. We had some great segments. Again, visit us at believe.love. That's our website. And if you'd like, subscribe at iTunes, believeiTunes.com and believeAndroid.com. And we're running a contest at the time that this is being filmed and recorded, believeContests.com, where you can win a $250 gift card just for giving us your question. You can ask me anything you'd like, and the best one wins, and we've given away a gift card. Well, we had our first winner recently, a lady from the Bronx, I think, and we answered her question in a previous episode, but I'd love to hear from you. So go to believeContests.com is light. believeContests.com if you'd like as well. And I hope you have an amazing day or night wherever you are. We're going to change your life. You can do it, and you're the one that's going to make the change. I'm just a guy talking on the internet right now. I'm trying to change the world as well. But you're going to help me, and you're going to make the changes in your life. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Don't wait for me to tell you something magical. Get on Google and search for things and help me. Help me. I need help too. Listen to me. I do weird things. I don't clean. I leave things on the floor. I need help dealing with that darkness inside of my brain as well. And I have it. There are things around us that want to help us. I'm talking about beings. Angels are real. I'm going to get into that in a future episode. What are angels? Maybe like, you know, we've talked about, we saw a being earlier in a different segment in this episode where as a 7-year-old being that's 6 inches tall from a Stanford geneticist has said this is real. There could be a lot going on out there in the universe, and we're going to connect it all, bring it all together. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me on Believe. I hope you have an amazing day or night wherever you are in the world.